Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Actually, I count it a real joy to be able to come tonight and start in the book of Job. Job is one of the challenges, books of challenge for me, but I like a challenge. I think there's a very good deal of interesting stuff in the book of Job. And we're going to kind of start in it. I was trying to figure out what I need to do to cover the material that we're supposed to cover in the next 2 weeks. In the next 2 weeks, we're supposed to cover the first three chapters. Actually, I was debating on whether to start this week with a kind of introductory material, and I kind of ditched that idea in favor of starting almost directly into the book. But I will have a few words to say about the background of the book of Job before we go into it, to the study of it. First of all, I want to say that the book of Job is probably one of the oldest books in the Bible. I don't know when it was written, and evidently nobody else does either. But it's from the material that's in the book, from the lineup of it, it looks like it would be pretty old. I think it would be possibly somewhere along the time of Genesis, if not before. Anyway, if I had to guess, I would say that it's one of the earlier books. There's much debate about the book of Job, and we're certainly not going to get into it. First of all, I want to say something to you. Most of you probably know that I don't hear that well, so if you ask me a question, I might not hear you. And all of you guys know that you won't raise your hand. I was in a place one time, and a fellow stuck his hand out there, and I didn't see it. And he went back and told somebody, "That old preacher won't even shake your hand." And so I'm warning you in advance, don't raise your hand, and make sure that if you have a comment, say, just get my attention. And I want you to feel free to make any comments that you want, asking the questions that you want, and we will do our best to answer it. Likelihood is I'll kind of point it toward Paul and let him answer it. But anyway, we are going to have a good adventure in the book of Job. It's a lot of good material in that book. I want to start out by saying a few things about Job. And, of course, you pick that up in the Bible. Job, his name, really, there's a dispute about what his name meant. Some people think his name might have to do with something about you know, hated, one that's hated, and one that's counted as an enemy. And others think his name may be acquainted with the idea of grief and sorrow. And may not be the case, but I think both things probably would indicate that they're pretty close, because, you know, names meant a lot back then. We don't think as much as names as we ought to, but names really meant something then. And his name, I think, would be kind of connected with either one of those definitions pretty good. We know that Job, from the very beginning of the book, we're told that there was a man in the land of Uz, and I don't know where Uz is. There's speculation that it's probably, we do know this, it was in the east, because he was the richest man in the east. The Bible tells us that it's somewhere in the east. And the likelihood is it's probably desert land, and it's probably somewhere near the Chaldeans, where Abraham, you know, was. It's probably somewhere over in that area. But we're told in the very first verse, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and he feared God and eschewed evil. King James Version used that term. I think that's a word we don't hardly see using more. I think it means to shun. He shunned evil. He looked the other way from evil, and he didn't think in terms of evil. And I think a better word probably, he shunned evil. He didn't look at it. I didn't pay no attention to evil things. And and he says that he was upright and he was perfect. Now, somebody might get the idea that Job was perfect in the sense that he never did anything wrong, never sinned, and never made any missteps. I don't think that's the idea of perfect in that case. I think when you talk about perfect, you're talking about something that's complete and something that's, when you say that is blameless, it doesn't mean that he's never made a mistake, but his reputation was good. He was an upright person. He kept himself, he had a good integrity, and people would look at him as a pious man, an upright man who had a good reputation. And I think Christians can be perfect in the same sense that Job was perfect. If we live the kind of life that you should, and most of us know what the Bible teaches about how Christians should live, you could be considered upright and perfect in that sense. Although sometimes we fall short and we do falter, we make mistakes. But we are complete because we're always striving to do what's right. We're always striving to serve the Lord. We're always striving to do what we know that the Bible teaches that's right. And if you do that, I think you'll be considered upright and complete as a Christian. We're told here in the next verse that he was born, he had 10 children. Job and I got something in common. We both from a big family. He had a big family, had 10. We had 13. And so Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was very wealthy. And the Bible tells us that he was one of the wealthiest men in that area at that time. And his children, I think, was under pretty good control, although they were like to have a lot of good times, evidently, parting funds. They had feasts at each of the sons' house, and they would invite the sisters to come and feast with them. And evidently, they had a periodic way of doing that. And they had these feasts. And so we see Job here. We're kind of getting set up. We're kind of learning a little bit about the man, Job. And so we want to see that Job was a prosperous person, and he was pious and prosperous. And that's a kind of rare thing nowadays, when sometimes you don't have a good mix there as a general rule. You catch a person that has a lot of wealth. It's rare to have wealth and still be pious. Fortunately, we have some people in the church who are pious, and yet they have some of the material blessings of this world. And that's a blessing when you can find a Christian that has that kind of attitude. And we saw that Jesus was talking about how hard it was for a person that to enter the kingdom of heaven if he was rich in this world. But I think sometimes we get the wrong idea about that too. We automatically sometimes we say, well, we kind of look down because a person might be blessed with some of the material blessings of this world. And we kind of, those of us who don't have, we kind of think ill of those that do. And that's not right. Because in the Bible, we see examples of people who had a lot of wealth, such as Abraham. He had a lot of riches. And then some of the kings, like David, I think David was blessed with a lot of prosperity after he became king. And he was considered a man after God's own heart. And so we see examples of people who have wealth and who were very pious people. And so it is not impossible to have wealth and have material blessings, and be religious, pious at the same time. Unfortunately, though, many of the people that do have the wealth are not very pious, but we do fortunately have those that are. And Job was one of these people who he didn't let the riches spoil his religious status. And he didn't let that spoil what he needed to do to show himself approved of God. And so when we can accumulate some of the world's wealth, if we use it to the glory and honor of God, God will bless us even more for it. And that's what we need. That's what looked like to me that Job was doing. He was prosperous, but he was able to control his prosperity. And so we see that about Job. Now, when we look at Job and look at the 6th verse through the 12th verse in that first chapter, we see that God has a meeting with his people, the angels of God and the sons of God, and they came and had their meeting, and then Satan appeared. You know, where everywhere children of God come together, Satan is going to find his way there some kind of way. You're going to always have to watch out, because Satan is going to come in among you. You might think everything is all right, but Satan is sitting up there taking notes. And we need to be alert at all times, knowing that this is the case. But I don't know what kind of gathering this was, and I don't know what the situation, but we're told that they met together, and Satan was there too. And God addressed Satan with the question. He said, "Where did you come from?" And he said, "I came from roaming up and down there." If you know, the Bible teaches us that Satan is just like a roaring lion. He's just going to and fro in the earth and seeing who he can destroy. And, of course, God addressed him, but God knew what he was there for. He didn't have to ask him why he was there. He knew what Satan was there for. And you can be sure that if Satan has come into your midst, he's not coming for any good things. Satan came and he was there, but he wasn't there for any good. And God knew what he was there for. And some of us, you know, you don't want to welcome Satan into your group at all. You don't want to invite him into your group. And some of us, I think, we have a tendency of showing too much friendliness with Satan. And I think that's something that we need to be wary of inviting Satan into our midst, in our group. But God knew what Satan was up to. And he said, "Well, now, have you considered my servant Job?" Now, I don't know, and I don't question why God does things. I don't know, and God didn't tell us everything about it, and we don't have to question why God did this and why God did that. I don't know why he chose to allow Satan to do that. And I don't know what incidents that he might allow Satan to do that today. I don't know. It would be speculation if you take an instance and say that this thing, God is tempting us through allowing Satan to do this and all. But I don't think we should speculate to that degree. I think what we need to be is alert at all time and watchful, and knowing that Satan is going to try to take you down at any time. And we do know that Christians go through some of the same things that Job went through. I don't know whether it's done, whether God is allowing Satan, just like he allowed Satan with Job or not. I'm not going to just try to get some incidents and say that this is a case where God allows this to happen to me and this, or tempting me in this way. God don't tempt anybody. He don't tempt anybody to do evil. and all, and I had to take God as his word on that. And so what we need to do is at all times is be prepared to try to keep ourselves in a position to where we always be watchful for Satan and not let our guards down, and to the best of our ability, be alert at all times. Of course, I think Job possibly was an alert person. Of course, Job didn't expect it, and sometimes things happen to us, and we might not expect it either, but we need to be able to be a Christian in all circumstances, regardless of what it is that happened to us. We need to be a Christian under all circumstances that happen. But God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And you know what Satan did? He did the same thing that he does sometime today to us, you know. He posed the question, do Job serve you for nothing? Now, that's an interesting question, because some of us, sometimes, we don't serve God for nothing. Unfortunately, that's the case with some of us. Unfortunately, when things don't go the way that we want them to go or think they ought to go, we want to blame God, and we want to turn our back on God, and we want to forget all the blessings that God has blessed us with. And this is not the way it ought to be at all. We need to remember, even in our times of hardships, even in our times of trouble, that God has blessed us, that he has blessed us tremendously, and we ought to remember those times, even when things are not going the way we want them to go or think they ought to go. But we, most of us, we're happy when things are going all right, when things are going our way. But the least little thing that come up, we would collapse. And that's just not the way that it ought to be. We need to be steadfast in serving God. He asked God the question, he said, is Job serving you for nothing? Say, now if you got a hedge around him, you're giving them all this wealth, you're giving them all these riches, you're giving all this protection and thing, you got him a good reputation. If you take all these things that you've given him, he will curse you to your face. And you know, I hate to say it, but some of us are just that weak. Some of us, as long as things are all right, we'll stick. But we don't stick if things don't go the way we want them. But he ran into somebody that was stronger than most of us are. We need to always strive to be strong like Job was in this case. And God said, well, all right, I'll tell you what. He's in your hand. You just take it and do what you want with him. But just don't bother him in a physical way. It's all right. You just take all of these material things, material blessings from him, and we'll see about that. And you know, Satan didn't let any grass grow on his feet. Satan take advantage of every opportunity. And let me tell you one thing about it. Satan is not sleeping on the job. Some of us sleep, but Satan is always working. He's always up, and he's always seeing who he can snare. Unless he already got you in his snare, he's going to always be working on you. He doesn't rest. Now, that's one thing we need to be aware of. We don't have any time to let our guard down. We don't have any time to sleep. I kind of remember an incident and studying the book of 1 Kings when this prophet, he went down there and kind of prophesied, and God said, don't you stop, don't go back the way you came and all like that. And the man, he stopped and rest. And he gave Satan a chance to go ahead on and do his thing, because he stopped and rest. And sometimes I think that's what we do. We stop and rest and give Satan the opportunity that he need to strike, to come in. And Christians need to always be aware. You can't give Satan an opportunity, because he goes, he works fast. He works right away. And soon as God told him, all right, you just go ahead and take away all his material things, just don't bother him. And he went right on. You see in the 13th through the 19th verse where you look at that, you look at, first of all, he took away all of the material things, like the animals and things, the first four or five verses there, up through the 17th verse. He took all the sheep, the camels, and all of the donkeys, and all of these things. He took them away, one after another. It fell all at once. And I'm told that during the time of the Depression, that's just a little bit before my time, not a whole lot, but a little bit before my time. But they tell me the people just lost everything they had, and it crashed, and they just started, they couldn't take it. They just, some of them committed suicide, and some of them just couldn't take it, take the loss. And this thing kind of remind me of things like that, that hit Job all of a sudden, lost everything. He was up one day and it was gone the next. And that's the way life is, you know. Life is just like a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. That's the way those little towns kind of rose up a little bit out in the west earlier. They'd be booming one day, and then next week or so they'd be all gone. All here today, gone tomorrow. And that's the way life is. You might be up and you might be doing fine right now, but you know, we're not promised tomorrow. We have now, and we need to do what we can now and do what we should now, because tomorrow may be too late. All of these things came upon Job at one time, one after another. And most of us couldn't take that kind of stuff. And he had everything was going just fine. And it just like that, it was gone. Lost everything. All of the material blessings that he had. As if that wasn't enough. As if that wasn't enough in itself. Guess what? On top of everything else, some kind of storm came, blew the house down, and killed all his children at one time. They were feasting, having a party, and it took all his children. The one that possibly could have been there to comfort him most of all during the time of loss, Satan took it, all of it. See, what Satan is doing is he's working on these material things. He said, now, if Job was to lose all these things, if he lose all of these material blessings that you bless, you got him hedged in. If you take all this stuff away from him, he'll curse you to your face. He won't stick with you. But he just didn't know Job. God told him in the first place, he said, I don't have anybody like him. And you know, God could depend on Job. He knew that Job wasn't serving him because he had blessed him with the material things in this life. And I hope that you can emulate Job in that way. I hope that you can kind of use Job as a great example to you. No, it's one thing to just come to these studies and gain the knowledge and learn knowledge about Job and what happened with these things, and that's good. But the best thing you can do is come to these classes and see how you can apply this to your life and make you better a person, and see if you can't pull something out of these things to make you a stronger person, make you a better person, to make you a person that kind of could be said to be perfect, just like Job was. That's what these classes are supposed to be for. It's supposed to help us to gain the strength that we need. And we need to kind of let Job be a good example for us, to be able to follow his example and learn and make our lives just like that. Or to learn some of the things that Job had to go through that we may have to face too, and be able to bear them in maybe even a better way than Job bear some of the things that he had to go through. Job, you know, everybody as a Christian have its flaws. None of us are perfect in the sense that we don't have anything, to say that we are to blame for. We all have some kind of flaws. I think I do. I don't want to put you in the same boat as I am. I have some flaws. I don't know about nobody else. Nobody else might not have none. Y'all might be all right. But I can think of two or three that I want to move. And if you got any that you want to move, then the study of Job ought to help you to kind of try to overcome some of those flaws. All Christians have to go through some kind of suffering of some kind. But Peter said in fourth chapter, 1 Peter, 12th chapter, that if we suffer as a Christian, we ought not to be ashamed. It's where we suffer as a busybody and meddling in things we ought not be meddling in, that's where we ought to be ashamed and worried, right? But to suffer as a Christian, we don't have nothing to be ashamed of, because all Christians suffer. We have to go through things in this life, and we can learn from the suffering that Job had to go through, the things that he had to go through. We can learn from that things that's going to help us to get through this life. Now, and when Job had all these goods, one day and the next day everything was gone. And last of all, his children, the one that probably he cared more about. I believe Job would care more about his children than he did about the material things that he lost. But when he lost his children, all of them at one time, you know, it's a hardship even if we lose one of our children. If we got 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 children and lose one, that's a hardship. That's a burden. That's really hard. But if you lose all of them at one time, that's a great loss. I got 3. I don't want to lose any. I know one day we will, probably. But to lose them all at once, and that could happen. Job lost all 10 of his children at one time. Just think about that. Yes, a great loss. But you know what Job did? You know what Job did after he lost his children? The Bible says that he worshiped God. He tore his clothes, he rent his clothes, and he worshiped God. He prostrated himself to God. You know, we wouldn't be going toward God, most of us, many of us wouldn't, if God had done, have allowed something like that to happen to us. We'd be wanting to get, we get mad with him. Start saying, why did you do this? Blaming God for it. But Job didn't do that. He worshiped God. He said, God gave it to me. God gave me everything I got. I don't have nothing to worry about. God gave it to me, and God got a right to take it from me. You know, if we are true stewards of God, and every Christian in a sense is a steward of God, nothing we have belongs to ourselves. We don't own anything in this world. We might own something from by the laws of this land, or by, you know, the property rights and things like that. But in truth, you don't own nothing. Everything you have belonged to God. One time I was preaching a lesson at a place one time, and I was telling this person, I say, that all that, I said, now how many cows do you have? He said, I got about 8 cows. And when I got through preaching, I asked him, how many cows you got, brother? I don't have any. And that's the truth. You might own something by, you know, the property laws and everything, but you really, when you think about that thing, how much do you have that really belong to you? Nothing. Nothing that we have belong to us. We all working for the Lord. And we are a steward. A steward is somebody that handles another man's goods. We are stewards of God. And if we are stewards of God, that means that we are have this as a temporary thing. We are handling it for God. Whatever we have is to the glory and honor of God. Y'all gonna have to tell me if the bell rang. I don't hear it. But anyway, we see that if we are stewards of God, then that means that all of that material things that you got, none of it really belongs to you. God is letting you use it. And if you don't use it to his glory and his honor, he can take it away from you. Of course, if you do use it to his glory and honor, he can still take it away from you. That's what he did to Job. Job was an upright man. But Job knew that he was a steward of God. Job realized this. Job knew that what he had didn't belong to him. Job knew that it belonged to God, because know what he said into the 21st verse there in the book, the first chapter there? He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll go out. And somewhere in the Bible, in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, 6th chapter, the Bible says that we brought nothing into this world. And it's for certain that we ain't going to carry nothing out. And that's the way Job felt. That's the way we ought to all feel. We ought to all feel that whatever we're doing, whatever the Lord has blessed us with, is a temporary at best. And that we need to use it to the best of our ability, to the glory and honor of God. I believe Job had done this. I hear that. I believe Job had done that. I believe Job had used to the best of of his ability, what God had entrusted him with. And so when Job lost it, certainly it was a hurtful thing to Job. Certainly it was a loss to Job. Certainly if you lose the things that God has given you, certainly it's going to hurt. But you ought to have the attitude like Job had. It didn't belong to me anyway. That's the way you ought to feel about it. That's not the way most of us would feel about it. But that's the way we ought to feel about it. Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. And know what he said? He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As the Lord had taken all of the stuff away from him, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. How often can we say that? Next week, we're going to be talking about the second and the third chapter where Job really gets into the physical suffering of things. And how Job has to go through a lot of agonizing pain. And I tell you right now, I'm not cut out to take a lot of physical pain. I don't know about you, but I can't take it like some people can. But with next week, we're going to talk about Job's physical pain that he had to go through. I appreciate you listening to us this day, and I hope that you've picked up some things that's going to help you along the way and to make your life better and realize how that we are all stewards of God. Let's have a prayer and be dismissed. Righteous Father in heaven, thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for blessing us with the material things in this life. Thank you for blessing us as we go from day to day, for guiding and directing our steps. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to do this and give us the strength that we need to overcome the temptations that befall us from time to time. We ask these blessings in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.